him and the Committee on Education and Child Development will be called back to order. This is the second round. With that being said, we will start with Vice Chair Sophia King for 2 minutes. Each alderman will have 2 minutes, and then we will end at round two. Vice Chair King.
Thank you, Chairman. Appreciate it. Everybody keeps talking about the science, and following the science. And I think when I think about this, I realize that, maybe that's why some folks are skeptical, because the science has been all over the place. And there's different opinions. Even the state and the city disagreed early on. Obviously, the government, different cities, different states are doing different things based on different scientists. So I'd like to ask, Doctor, what science do you follow? And you said you could send us some of the data that you had. I would love to see that, but just who do you follow? What science do you follow? Dr. Friccioni.
Job. Thank you. So
Did I pronounce that wrong? I apologize if I did.
can you re-ask the question in terms of what was there a particular part of the science that you'd like to understand or?
Ooh, my time is short. So who do you, when you look at data, who are you following? Like for instance, I've read, Harvard scientists who, are skeptical about reopening. I've seen the Michigan study that they're skeptical about reopening.
And that was modeling, that's mathematical modeling.
Yes, and so I'm just curious, who are you looking to for, your kind of advice?
Sure. What do
And
I think
I
is the best data?
clarify, folks are talking about New York. People are talking about different. We have to be careful to talk about it in context. I mean, New York hasn't returned in full. They've got, a little over 100,000 folks out of 1 million, plus returning, as you probably know. And they're also doing they're doing testing of their students, right? And they're doing it by area, right? So if certain schools, communities have larger positivity rate, those aren't opening. And so I just want to be careful of that. But who do you use to guide your science?
We combine our case investigation data, so real stories from real people and real outbreaks within the city, with the CDC, with our colleagues in other big cities. We have calls with them every week about what they're doing in their cities. And we try to be collaborative.
Which cities?
The cities on the call, New York, Houston, LA, the public health professionals in every big city, San Francisco, San Diego, all over. And I think one thing that's unique about Chicago, you're absolutely right, is the fact that we're surrounded by states that did not enforce mask mandates for a long time. And that had a big impact on our ability to reopen schools.
Right.
Vice
But
Chair.
even some of the cities that you mentioned, some are closed, some aren't, some have hybrid, some don't, so I'm just wondering where you
And
get
a lot of them are just starting their second wave while we are coming down off of our second wave.
Vice Chair, you
Right.
got one question to close?
Yeah, I would just say on your data, when you put up that I had some time to look at it. And while the second wave is, we are coming down off our second wave, the numbers are higher than our first wave and our second wave. And so again, that's an important data point that we have to share with people. It's all relative, right?
Absolutely,
But our
and that's
numbers
why I put
are.
the testing slide in there too, so that
Yeah.
it could be in context of our sort of the amount of testing that we're now doing compared to the first wave.
And the high ICU beds, while slightly lower, are still relatively the same. So I just wanted to mention that about data, but
But
I still like to
hospitalizations and
understand
deaths are way
who
down.
you look at, and if you could send that, what research that you are looking at, so we can look at it too. If you could send that through the chair, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Chairman.
No problem. Thank you. Alderman Taylor.
You said 3 minutes the first time. Can you all tell me how many young people never showed up for remote learning?
Never what?
How many young people never showed up for remote learning? Can you run my time back?
I got you. Go ahead.
Thank you.
So I'm not sure if earlier Felicia had.
Y'all all work at CPS, right?
I don't have that data handy. We do have the data, and we can definitely get it to the chair for you.
So the good doctor said that she depends on science instead of surveys. The CDC stated that an 8% poverty positivity rate puts school at higher risk of transmission. On the city's dashboard, it says we are 10.2%. So what data did you use to determine that we should open back up schools?
That positivity rate was taken from their August guidance. And since then, we've had additional studies that have discredited that guidance. So we've had to interpret, and it also says in that document that their guidance should be interpreted.
So you interpreted instead of using science. So you contradicted yourself.
No, we had
a nurse in every school. I heard it's only a nurse coming once a week, and it's not one every school.
I'm sorry.
I just don't want to watch up my time. You all said that there were going to be a nurse at every school every day. That's not what I'm getting. Every school did not start off today with a nurse, and the nurses are only coming once a week. So which is it?
And so, Alderman, it's Frank, and I was trying to get the data for that as well and trying to dial down a little bit more. What I was told is 427 schools did open today, so the 350 number that I was guesstimating before was wrong. But we are at 425 nurses right now, and we are onboarding 11 as we speak.
That are currently in the school or going to work remote?
Well, I don't have, that's the dial down that I still need to get for you.
Thank you, Chair.
I told you I was giving you 15 seconds back. You got one more.
I just still can't understand. It's like y'all made the data to make it say that it's okay for, clearly both doctors said to me, we're gonna use science instead of surveys, but clearly the science says it. And if I'm looking at the CP, I'm looking at the city's website, it says the positivity rate is 10.2. Why would we even consider this? Make it make sense. And if you all have been talking to August, shame on y'all for not including us. Shame on y'all. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Alderman Bill. Alderman Bill. Alderman Garza, Salaz Garza.
Thank you so much, Chairman. And thank you again for everybody for sticking it out so long. I just want to, at our last briefing, I asked if you guys could provide through the chair how many students are scheduled to come back at our schools. I know that there's a spreadsheet out there. If you could share that with all of us, I'd appreciate it.
That should hopefully be sent tonight as well. I got some updates. Thank you.
I appreciate that. So one of the things that I found kind of weird was that in the presentation, in the briefing, it said that we had to leave the window open, and then Dr. Fox said, no, he doesn't think we should leave the window open. So what is it? Are we leaving it open or are we not leaving it open? And by the way, some of my schools the classrooms do not have a window. Frank, you know what school I'm talking about.
I certainly do, and Ivan has been working with the principal on that one as well for...
I actually visited that last week. It looks great.
Yep, I was told, thank you.
Yep.
In alignment with CDC guidance and ASHRAE guidance as well, we have the windows open. So we have at least one window open in every school, operable, 2 to 3 inches open to allow fresh air to come into that space.
Okay, if the windows don't open in that classroom, are we gonna try to put kids elsewhere or what are we?
So again, per the evaluation of every building, we looked at the mechanical system as well as natural ventilation and putting air purifiers in all spaces as well. So I'm not sure exactly what school you're referring to. We can talk offline as well to make sure, but again, you can go to our site and verify the current condition of that school where it currently sits. Sorry for answering fast. I'm just trying to.
No, that's okay. And you said that all schools should have a minimum of 2 care rooms?
We push for every school to have a minimum of 2 care rooms, but we know that some schools have a smaller footprint, which is why we're looking at other innovative ways to make space.
Okay. Yeah. None of my schools have 2. And so, okay. That's it for right now. Thank you.
Alderwoman Rodriguez Sanchez.
Thank you, Chair. I only have 2 minutes and I'm gonna need more time. So are you gonna give me round three?
No.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Let's get as many questions as you can get out as possible, okay? Let's do it. Let's
okay,
do it.
Okay, cool. So in terms of the nurses that my colleague, other woman, Jeanette Taylor, was talking about today, during the time we were on break, I heard from several, like dozens of schools saying that they did not have a nurse in school today as kids went into the classrooms. Many of them said that the nurses rotate and they share it with other schools. How is the plan different from what we do in non-pandemic times with nurses and with social workers?
I'm not sure if Shirley and or Felicia wanted anything to add, but no.
Go ahead, Shirley. So every school has an assigned nurse to meet students' direct service needs. We continue to seek to staff additional nurses, but correct. So not necessarily a nurse in every school every single day.
Can you hear me? I think my connection was lost.
You're back
yeah.
now.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Are you saying that there is going to be a nurse for the full day in each school?
No, that is not. That was we're offering that clarification.
Okay, so can you explain how it's going to work?
Sorry, I'm having a hard time listening, hearing the sound. There's like an odd delay. So there are care room attendants, which we have covered, and there are nurses who are being deployed when there is need for additional staffing, but it was a misspeak to say that there would be an in-person nurse at every single school.
Chairman, I run out of time, but I have so many more questions, so I hope that we're going to have another hearing soon, or that I'm going to be able to ask these questions to somebody, because I have like 15 more questions to ask.
Okay, we'll reach out to you as well.
And can you give me those in writing so one, I can have them answered, but two, I will work with the committee to do something else. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Nick Spizzato.
Thank you, Chairman. Once again, awesome meeting you're running. This is very big, something very, very important, and I'm glad. I just want to get back on to thank everybody once again. Unfortunately, last time I singled one person out, the one doctor, not the other doctor. So thank you, both of you doctors. And as always, thank you to Frank. Frank, you're always there for me. And Laurel, you guys are always filling me in, keeping me posted. The rest of the other speakers, I don't really know who you are, but you were a wealth of information. And I appreciate all of you. But once again, Chairman, I can't say enough about the meeting you ran today. Very efficient, very fair. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Alderman. I appreciate it. Alderman Kappelman. Alderman Kappelman? All right. We will go to Alderman Cicho Lopez. Alderman Cicho Lopez. All right, Alderman Haddon.
Thanks, Chair. So picking up on more of this kind of cleaning practices, could somebody tell me, have all of our bathroom toilets in schools been equipped with toilet seat covers to prevent the spray of fecal matter, which has been proven to carry the virus?
So what we've done, though, we have not done that and that one measure itself. What we've done is to disarm and disengage all of the heaters or hand dryers out of the space as well, to make sure that does not add more spray or any other kind of movement of air in that way, but also make sure that all of the bathroom exhaust fans work properly and also the other ventilation systems in the building as well.
But you didn't put toilet seat covers on toilets.
No, okay. You can imagine that of all of the different areas.
I only got 2 minutes, Mr. Carson.
I understand. Of all the mitigation strategies, that is one of them. That's not.
Have the bathroom sinks been adjusted to allow the water to flow for at least 20 seconds? And is there hot water?
So where water is being, water in the side of the bathrooms, all those water faucets, I guess, were repaired to make sure they work and operate properly.
But that's not what I asked. I asked, because I'm thinking of the most recent school bathroom I used at Sullivan High School in the girls' restroom. You push the little button thing. It runs for like 5 to 7 seconds. You got to keep touching it. Do they run for at least 20 seconds so people can wash their hands without having to repeatedly touch them?
I'm not sure if it runs 20 seconds or not, but still it's soap and water there to keep using it and make sure that everything works properly, as well as hand sanitizer dispensers all throughout the school.
Just curious, because you got to keep touching it. And then you mentioned the exhaust systems work. Do you have air filters in the bathrooms as well?
No, they actually all go through the major building ventilation.
Okay, but all the classrooms do as well, but you determined that we needed to add extra air filtration there, but we did not in the bathrooms. And I know most of the bathrooms in my schools are also internal, so they don't have windows to open. So you didn't determine you needed any additional air filtration in the bathrooms?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Alderman Cardenas.
Thank you, Chair. Once again, I applaud everybody for staying on too long. And I don't know if this is on Felicia that deals with day-to-day. I just got off a meeting with other CTU and teachers, obviously, from Nathus Elementary. And they're very afraid, very emotional about going back to school. Who handles the decisions about letting some teachers opt out for now based on the fact that they're emotional, if they can't do it, and if they're not going to be effective, why not let them stay out until they feel a little more comfortable?
I'll begin by saying all staff have a process where if they need to apply for ADA or accommodations, they are able to do that, and then they will all be weighed on an individual basis and be responded to individually. So any staff member has the right to and the privilege to submit the required documentation for their request.
Many have stated that either it's taking too long, or they're not being taken seriously. Is there any truth to that?
So that I don't work. I'm not in that particular department, but I definitely have confidence in our talent office and all of our officials who are working to address those requests. And so yeah, there. But everybody has the right to apply. And we mentioned earlier, everyone who applied for an ADA accommodation, they were all granted. And some other accommodations were granted as well. But again, they're handled on a case-by-case basis, and they have to be reviewed individually.
Thank you. I know Frank would probably follow up on that if I get some on that. And then before my time's up, I would like to know, along the lines of one of my colleagues mentioned this, what's the drop-off? I know I've gotten calls from parents that they want to opt in. They have no choice. They need help. They have not been able to help their children at home, and they are not learning either because of bad connections or the fact that they just don't know how to operate equipment very well, and so they can't help their children. Do we have a number on that? And do we have a plan to help these parents bridge the gap and bring them online, either online or in person? But how do we help those parents that are completely off the grid?
Well, I'm sorry, are you asking about that want to come back to in school?
Well, some parents have a little of the fact that they're not bringing them back because, one, they're afraid, and also that the kids are not learning, that their equipment, no functions, they don't have operability when it comes to internet, and so they're stuck. They want to go back in person, but they can't because of what's going on.
Certainly. Chicago Connected, as we mentioned, has been opened up to over 230,000 different families now, which allows for free internet up to 4 years, depending on the family circumstances. And so we highly recommend that they go and first see, make sure that they're eligible, and get them signed up immediately. Working with their local principal to make sure that their device is up to speed, and if it's broken or if it needs replacement, you know, I would start there immediately as well. The second thing is in regards to parents, our parent university has been engaging with parents and doing online classes in multiple languages and having many of the experts, not just here, but across the district, speaking to them about, you know, options and ways to navigate through remote learning and the pandemic. And so those are taped and they're available online. I'm happy to send it through the chair as well, the link, to make sure.
Can you give me a number of how many have dropped off? I know my time's up, but how many have dropped off?
You have to get that through the chair.
Yes, absolutely. Through the chair. I understand, Chairman, so I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate you. Alderman Andre Vasquez, followed by Alderman Dowell.
Thank you, Chairman. So let me ask, I'm going to try to ask them as quick as possible. Is there a limitation to how many students a clinician can see, right? Because they could potentially be in more exposure, talking to more kids. So is there a limit to how many they can talk to?
Shirley?
Sorry, I was coming off mute. No, depending on the number of students that they're exposed to, again, as Dr. Fox has explained, there will be appropriate PPE and also social distancing protocols in place.
Sure. However, when you got a more preponderance of talking to kids who are going to be symptomatic, they're a clinician, right? Even with all those safeguards, it is a higher propensity of somebody getting sick.
But nobody's talking to symptomatic kids in school, period. Sick kids go home.
So on that one, thank you for that, Dr. Fox. So let's say somebody's symptomatic, but then they come back home and they don't happen to have COVID. Are they allowed to come back in a couple days later, even if they still have symptoms?
After they're tested and seen by their doctor. If they're negative COVID, then they're welcome to come back when their illness has resolved.
Got it. What about situations where children are from families that are undocumented or have language issues and don't have access to a doctor to get tested? Are you providing that, or is there somewhere else that can be provided that? How is CPS helping those scenarios?
Undocumented patients can be seen at federally qualified community health centers. We're not a clinic. We don't see them.
And going are two different things. I know that from somebody from an immigrant family. It doesn't mean that they'll do it. It means that it's available. So what is CPS doing to promote that, to be able to help them in situations where they feel intimidated to even go to a doctor or to anything that's provided?
They're welcome to call our hotline, 773-553-KIDS. We have an entire staff of people who are dedicated to help the families overcome problems like this. We were at this before COVID.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm asking, because there are problems before COVID.
Which is hard work, but it's not something that we're giving up on. We continue to offer the help.
And I say that hearing from immigrant families even prior to COVID who needed help, right? So I'm not saying, and I don't expect anyone to get it perfect, but I want to know, like, what measures are taken.
They can call the hotline and get assistance from us.
Okay. As far as, like, simultaneous teaching, my understanding is even if you're in person, you're going to be looking at your laptop because you got a teacher that's going to be doing remote teaching as well as in person at the same time. Is that the case?
No, that's inaccurate representation of the guidance that we're giving for instruction.
Okay. Sorry, Chairman. Is there a third round?
No, there's not a third round, but I will work with everybody to be something like this. Again, I know that there are variations of what people want to have happen, and I will work with folks on the committee to make sure that it does happen. So,
okay, thank you.
I know that there are a lot of outstanding questions that are still need to be answered, and we'll do what we need to make sure that happens, okay?
Thank you.
Alderman Dow, followed by Alderman Mike Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All my questions are for Mr. Carson. Mr. Carson, the air filtration that you mentioned in the classrooms, does this mean that every classroom has been retrofitted, even if that classroom is not in use right now?
How much of our following say retrofitted?
Well, fitted for air filters, whatever treatment that you've done in the classrooms where these pre-K kids are, have all the classrooms in that school received the same treatment, even though those classrooms are now today empty and not being used?
So the rooms where kids are not in, so again, the pre-K and cluster classrooms, those classrooms today have a air purifier in them. The classes that kids are not in yet, which are part of wave two, are now have ongoing deliveries to have fully placed air purifiers before staff returns on the 25th of this month.
Okay, thank you. My second question, many of my schools have playground equipment. Those are off limits?
Correct. So by City of Chicago, by the mayor's office, all park districts are still closed, as well as playgrounds are still closed.
Okay, so what's the protocol for recess?
So you still have the outside open space area to still play in, but just not the playground equipment.
And the teachers have to keep them socially distanced, right? Outside?
That is key,
as
yes.
Well. Okay. I know you've been paying a lot of attention to getting these schools straight so that you can reopen. I would like to some assurance that you've also addressed ongoing maintenance issues, for example, pest control. And I do not want to see another mouse in Mollison.
Yes, Alderman, making sure that all schools have pest control services continually throughout this entire period, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Alderman Mike Rodriguez. Alderman Rodriguez. Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa. Alderman Ramirez Rosa. Alderman Mitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one additional question I want to ask surrounding school safety. Do we have what's the safety plan?
In regards to,
are you working with CPD or the?
Certainly. And JD and Chow, and I'm happy to have JD reach out this week as well, Alderman, and talk about the individual conversations she's had with various districts in regards to safety plans going back. She is in constant contact with CPD in regards to specific schools, when they're going, you know, our schools are when they're going back, and our plans to make sure that they're fully briefed and fully aware of what the plan is moving forward.
And that it's not an opportunity for the kids to congregate out the school, or making sure that they proceed to a home and not at the stores and doing a lot of other congregating. I just thought I would
certainly
ask a question. Somebody could answer and make sure that they give us an answer on that.
Certainly.
Thank you. And I look forward to
You went on mute there, Alderman, so we didn't hear your
sorry.
Last.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm going to be looking forward to, as we still assess between now and Monday, other opportunities that we can come back and speak again, because I really do think that we need to be compromising here when it comes to making sure our kids are back in school, are back in school safe, our teachers are happy, and that we can move forward. We got the virus on the rise, we got violence on the rise, and we don't need to be in a battle with education at this time. So I think that there should be some common ground here, and hopefully we can get there sooner than later.
And I just want to add too that obviously we have our Safe Passage folks as well that will be out in full force, making sure students are moving along as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's who I was speaking of.
Oh, yeah.
Safe Passage is going to be out as well.
They have been working hard with us throughout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you
for this meeting today. Thank all of you for the time that you put into discussing the issue. It's been helpful, but we have one side, and I know there's two sides to every story.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you.
Alderman Martin to close.
Thank you, Chair. Through the chair, I have a few things quickly. For the approximately 690 personnel who have tested positive, if you could provide through the chair a breakdown of the average time it took to complete contact tracing so that we have a baseline for what's to come. And then second, where it's believed that the individuals contracted the virus. Again, like very cognizant of HIPAA-related laws, but if you just, you know, say, oh, at the workplace and at home, things to that nature.
I can answer that right now.
Just through the chair, because I got some other ones, but I appreciate that. I was wondering, with my remaining time, if a student or a teacher tests positive and they've interacted with other individuals, other education professionals, like say a social worker, a speech therapist, a lunchroom attendant, under what circumstances, so this is a two-parter. One, under what circumstances would those individuals be directed to quarantine? And then two, say that that student has a sibling at CPS, would that sibling be instructed to remain at home in quarantine based on the presumption that they were in contact with the sibling who did test positive?
Do you want this through the chair or the answer right now?
If we've got time for it, but I'll defer to the chair.
I think I can do it in a few seconds. So with regard to your second question about the teacher or the student positive, we do contact tracing. We find out who the direct contacts are. We find out, you know, were they within 6 feet for 15 minutes or longer of the case during the case's contagious period. That would be the definition of a direct contact. And if you're a direct contact, then you go to quarantine. In the case of the student and the siblings, if the student is the case, then the siblings of the student living in the household, they would be direct contacts, you know, household contacts who have to quarantine.
And this brings up a good point, Dr. Fox, that while CPS will be doing the contact tracing within the school, CDPH will be doing the contact tracing outside of the school. So CDPH would be in charge of sort of helping out with that family situation and interviewing the case itself. But then we would also double back to CPS to let them know whether both siblings would be out or just one.
Thank you.
Matt. Say hello there. They really have us all engaged. I think they got Dr. Fox kind of mixed up when he was.
Let him talk.
You're an afternoon of juggling.
Well, before we close out, I wanted to one, thank all of my colleagues for the dialogue that we've had today. I know this is something that is, again, very important to all of us. Again, we talk about our children, and our children are our most important commodity. And I know the passion that lies with each and every one of you. And I, again, thank you for being on for all this time. I also want to thank CPS for all of their answers today. I know that we have a lot more answers to engage with, but I think this is a good first step, and we'll continue to work with the members of the committee and the other members of the body to make sure that we get all of these answers that we need to have for our families and CPS families and teachers and those who are concerned with the educational system here in Chicago. And thank you all very much for being here today. I want to thank our other guests, Rabbi Shlomo and Ariel Johnson from INCS for their testimony earlier today. And there being no further business before the committee, can I get a motion to adjourn this meeting by the same roll call vote as was applied to
motion
the
motion to adjourn, Alderman Esposito.
Motion, Alderman Harris seconds.
Alderman Esposito moves, Alderman Harris seconds. Hear no objections, so ordered, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all again.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you.